said Mr. Wilkinson. "Me and the lads were wondering if you might like to unburden yourself, at this point in time, on the subject of the whereabouts of the place where the location of the spot is where, not to beat about the bush, you hid all that money you stole." The jail went silent. Even the cockroaches were listening. "No, I couldn't do that, Mr. Wilkinson," said Moist loudly, after a decent pause for dramatic effect. He tapped his jacket pocket, held up a finger and winked. The warders grinned back. "We understand totally, sir. Now I'd get some rest if I was you, sir, because we're hanging you in half an hour," said Mr. Wilkinson. "Hey, don't I get breakfast?" "Breakfast isn't until 7 o'clock, sir," said the warder reproachfully. "But tell you what, I'll do you a bacon sandwich, because it's you, Mr. Spangler." And now it was a few minutes before dawn, and it was him being led down the short corridor and out into the little room under the scaffold. Moist realised he was looking at himself from a distance, as if part of himself was floating outside his body like a child's balloon, ready, as it were, for him to let go of the string. The room was lit by light coming through cracks in the scaffold floor above, and, significantly, from around the edges of the large trapdoor. The hinges of said door were being carefully oiled by a man in a hood. He stopped when he saw the party had arrived and said, "Good morning, Mr. Spangler." He raised the hood helpfully. "It's me, sir, Daniel Wondrop Trooper. I am your executioner for today, sir. Don't you worry, sir. I've hanged dozens of people. We'll soon have you out of here." "Is it true that if a man isn't hanged after 3 attempts, he's reprieved, Dan?" said Moist, as the executioner carefully wiped his hands on a rag. "So I've heard, sir, so I've heard. But they don't call me Wondrop for nothing, sir. And will, sir, be having the black bag today? Will it help? Some people think it makes them look a bit more dashing, sir, and it stops that pop-eyed look. It's more a crowd thing, really. Quite a big one out there this morning. Nice piece about you in the Times yesterday, I thought. All them people saying what a nice young man you were and everything. Would you mind signing the rope beforehand, sir? I mean, I won't have the chance to ask you afterwards, eh?" "Signing the rope," said Moist. "Yes, sir," said the hangman. "It's sort of traditional. There's a lot of people out there who buy old rope. Specialist collectors, you could say. A bit strange, but it takes all sorts, eh? Worth more signed, of course." He flourished a length of stout rope. "I've got a special pen that signs on rope. One signature every couple of inches. Straightforward signature, no dedication needed. Worth money to me, sir. I'd be very grateful." So grateful that you won't hang me, then," said Moist, taking the pen. This got an appreciative laugh. Mr. Trooper watched him sign along the length, nodding happily. "Well done, sir. That's my pension plan you're signing there. Now, are we ready, everyone?" "Not me," said Moist quickly, to another round of general amusement. "You're a card, Mr. Spangler," said Mr. Wilkinson. "It won't be the same without you around, and that's the truth." "Not for me, at any rate," said Moist. This was, once again, treated like rapier wit. Moist sighed. "Do you really think all this deters crime, Mr. Trooper?" he said. "Well, in the generality of things, I'd say it's hard to tell, given that it's hard to find evidence of crimes not committed," said the hangman, giving the trapdoor a final rattle. "But in the specificality, sir, I'd say it's very efficacious." "Meaning what?" said Moist. "Meaning, I've never seen someone appear more than once, sir. Shall we go?" There was a stir when they climbed up into the chilly morning air, followed by a few boos and even some applause. People were strange like that. Steal $5 and you are a petty thief. Steal thousands of dollars and you are either a government or a hero. Moist stared ahead while the roll call of his crimes was read out. He couldn't help feeling it was so unfair. He'd never so much as tapped someone on the head. He'd never even broken down a door. He had picked locks on occasion, but he'd always locked them again behind him. Apart from all those repossessions, bankruptcies and sudden insolvencies, what had he actually done that was bad as such? He'd only been moving numbers around. "Nice crowd turned out today," said Mr. Trooper, tossing the end of the rope over the beam and busying himself with knots. "Lots of press, too. Wat Gallows covers them all, of course. There's the Times and the Pseudopolis Herald, probably because of that bank that collapsed there. And I heard there's a man from the Store Plains Dealer, too. Very good financial section. I always keep an eye on used rope prices. Looks like a lot of people want to see you dead, sir." Moist was aware that a black coach had drawn up at the rear of the crowd. There was no coat of arms on the door, unless you were in on the secret, which was that Lord Vetinari's coat of arms featured a sable shield. Black on black. You had to admit, the bastard had style. "Hmm? What?"